Yep, good. He travelled, he was an evangelist, he was deputed by Paul to teach, to be a troubleshooter, to stay behind and pastor young, new churches. He suffered, he was imprisoned. He worked with Paul, travelled with Paul, worked for Paul in the churches for longer than any of the other colleagues of Paul's missionary journeys and tasks. He was trusted as a follower, as a problem solver. He was Paul's son in the faith, whether because he was a young fella, whether in fact Paul was instrumental in leading him to faith in Jesus, quite possibly. He was a commended colleague, someone whom Paul appreciated and praised. He was a trainee understudy, was he? In a sense, was he the reluctant heir or the hesitant heir of Paul's ministry? No, he wasn't another Paul. But Paul certainly trained him, gave him tasks, trusted him in ministry, and worked with him and developed him in ministry as they served God together. Times when he stood out in Paul's mind as a colleague. Philippians 2, 19 to 22, talking about Timothy as he writes to the Philippian church. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Lovely words from Paul, who probably didn't suffer fools gladly, but saw in Timothy God at work and saw the contribution Timothy could bring. So was he. His understudy, yes indeed, he was developed in ministry by Paul. What was he like? Already mentioned. He's young, he's shy. Told don't be timid. Others are told don't look down on him because of his youth. He was sensitive. I remember your tears. Self-conscious, probably. Aware of his limitations, perhaps. And aware of his youth. Perhaps in a society that didn't particularly listen to the young people. We see him from mid-teens through to early 30s in the New Testament. So he starts off as a young fella and yet is developed, is trusted by Paul. What do we know of his ministry? He was important in the early church. The things he did through his later teens and easily his 20s. Doing tasks for Paul, a colleague in travels with him, and encouraged to operate on his own, sent back to churches that had problems, left behind to pastor a new young church when Paul went on elsewhere, told to do the work of an evangelist, to be an evangelist. He is left repeatedly as pastor. 2 Timothy, we'll look at, was written by Paul to Timothy in Ephesus, where he was serving as pastor of that young church and a troubleshooter. Every now and then we see Paul sending him off to sort out some problem, some difficulty in the life of the church or that was being faced by the early Christians. He served in various places: Lystra, Galatia, Troas, Philippi, Corinth, Thessalonica, Berea, Ephesus. At least we know of his work in these places in the New Testament. So he was very much a colleague in ministry with Paul. His age not debarring him from serving the Lord, for leading in the church, for evangelizing, for teaching and preaching, problem solving, pastoring. He went on through various parts of Asia. We see him heading towards Greece finally with Paul on Paul's third missionary journey. Probably converted in the first missionary journey, maybe, we're unclear. Certainly working with Paul in Paul's second missionary journey. And by the third missionary journey, he'd already been with Paul. And we see Paul writing of his suffering. And in Hebrews, it's mentioned that he was released from prison. So he'd also been imprisoned for Jesus. Paul is finally in Rome, third missionary journey, a more a house arrest, looser type of imprisonment. And then 2 Timothy is written to Timothy, pastoring in Ephesus from Paul, under much more strict and severe arrest, in prison, chained to a Roman soldier immediately next to him in the prison. 1 Timothy, written to Timothy at Ephesus at that time already, from Paul in Corinth. Telling Timothy your task, chapter 1, verses 3 to 6 of 1 Timothy, correct error. 1 Timothy 1:19, hold the faith. Chapter 4, verse 11, teach. Chapter 4, verse 12, be an example. 2 Timothy, we'll look at, written to Ephesus. Timothy in Ephesus is pastor there still, from Paul in Rome, strict imprisonment. This is Paul's last letter that we have in the New Testament. His final words, very personal. He's obviously lonely and struggling, rather, facing execution, very likely, and in fact, which followed probably not too much after. Timothy's task, rekindle the gift of God in you, chapter 1, verse 6. Take your share of suffering, chapter 1, verse 8. Instruct others, 2 Timothy 2, 2. What you've heard, pass on to others. Fulfill your ministry. Chapter 4, verse 5. He's urged to come to Paul in Rome. Paul wants to see him. Paul misses his colleague and young supporter. Chapter 4, verse 9, verse 21 of 2 Timothy. Paul wants... We're coming to it. Various details, sorry, still in that letter. He's talking about folksy stuff. Bring my cloak, bring the scrolls, bring the parchments when you come. Look to your health. Take a bit of wine for your stomach's sake. 1 Timothy 5, 17. What you're drinking, what you're eating, what you need. Come before the winter. 2 Timothy 4, 21. What do we know then of, indeed, his development? Three key areas I touch on. The family influence. Here is a godly upbringing. His mother, a Jewish woman. His father, Greek, indeed. We don't hear anything more of the father, but certainly we hear of the teaching from his grandmother, Lois, his mother, Eunice, in the word of God, the ways of God, preparing him then for the gospel of Jesus Christ. When he was converted, before or during Paul's first visit or soon after, we're not sure, but a very significant upbringing where they taught him the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:15 taught him in the faith. 2 Timothy 1:5. The impact, the importance of a godly home, of Christian upbringing. Many of us can thank God for the upbringing we've had. Many of us pray for grandchildren, children, those known to us who need the Word of God, the knowledge of Jesus and His saving grace, and how He can work in our lives and for us. Remember, I had a school friend, secondary school, in lower secondary school, who was a Christian. He was a close friend. We shared a lot. His home background was very difficult, very opposed to the gospel. And I could see that just had strengthened his faith. And he shone like a bright beacon as a Christian. And I remember saying to him once, I love to see your Christian character and witness and stance. I wish I had a background like yours, which would refine and challenge and develop me. His comment was, I wish I had your background of a Christian family, of a Christian upbringing. My background of Christian missionaries, pastors, this sort of stuff. Yes, the opportunities we receive, the challenges we may face, what of those we pray for? Let us pray God will refine, will challenge, will bring to Himself those who we know, whom we pray for, whom we may love and be concerned about. His conversion, his growth, yeah. We see him probably from mid-teens through to early 30s. He was in Lystra, where Paul visited on his first missionary journey. And probably he saw Paul and Barnabas there preaching, saw the man who was lame from birth healed, saw the crowds who hailed Paul and Barnabas as Greek gods, as Zeus, Hermes, who wanted to make sacrifices to them. They said, no, you can't. Then Jewish believers, Old Testament adherents, came from Iconium and turned the crowd, people, believers, away from Paul and Barnabas, to the point that Paul was stoned and abandoned for dead. He was taken by the Christians there. Was it to Eunice's home? Certainly he was cared for overnight and then left the next day from Lystra to go to Derbe. We don't know when Eunice and Lois believed in Christ, when Timothy did, but we certainly see the fruits in Timothy's life and in his development and teaching. Paul calls Timothy my son in the faith, whether it was because he was a young fella or whether indeed Paul led him to faith in Christ. Certainly he views him in that regard as coming to belief, and Timothy shows the work of God's Holy Spirit in his life, in his ministry. His faith, his commitment, his service, his mission travels and service and ministries. And his apprenticeship, his experience working with and under Paul, other missionary colleagues, and various churches. Acts 16:3, he went on with Paul from Lystra, then is set apart for the work of Christ. 2 Timothy 1:6, the gift of God you've received through the laying on of hands, my hands, the elders, commissioned for Christ's work. He worked with Paul, learned from him, was often directed by him. Paul quite frequently giving him advice or instructions or tasks to do. Each element in Paul's input in Timothy's life would still apply for the Timothys in our experience, in our church. Younger folk called by God to serve him, commissioned by him, touched by his hand, led by the Holy Spirit to follow, to grow, to serve. How we pray for them, how we influence them. Pray indeed for those in our fellowship and families and those known to us in each of these stages of development, of Timothy's development, of those we are concerned for and about. Okay, to Timothy. The first chapter, just the first sections there. First and second Timothy and Titus, known as the pastoral epistles. Very much Paul the pastor talking to young pastors, fellow pastors, whom he has tasked to care for the flock of God, the church of Jesus Christ. Probably written fairly soon after the events of Acts 28. After his imprisonment in Rome the first time, in 60 to 62 AD, there or thereabouts, Paul began his fourth missionary journey. Third missionary journey leading to imprisonment, that house arrest. Not described, but very likely, he talks of wanting to go to Spain. Did he get up into Europe and go west? We don't know what that was. Probably he was off travelling again and is described as his fourth missionary journey. He commissioned Titus as his representative in Crete. He left Timothy as pastor in charge of the church at Ephesus. 63 to 65. Later, he travelled to Rome. He was imprisoned for the second time, much more severely. 2 Timothy, written shortly before he was executed, probably 67 or 68 AD. So we'll look at the text of 2 Timothy. Two big themes probably can come through. Faith, Paul's faith. I know whom I have believed. Timothy's faith, what you were taught from your grandmother, your mother, what you've heard from me, the Holy Spirit has done in you, is working in you through the laying on of hands, through our prayers, Paul's guidance and teaching. The faith. Paul talks a lot about sound teaching, the true gospel. Hold firm and clear to the word of God and what you have been taught. So faith and faithfulness. All right, let's go back one. Paul's faithfulness. Yes, we know. Paul, very faithful in travels, in ministry, in serving the Lord, in evangelizing, in teaching, in pastoring. Paul's faithfulness and his call to Timothy here, be faithful, be strong, hold firm to what you have been taught and to the tasks you have been given, using the gifts the Lord has given you. So, 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 to 14, verse 1. Paul, an apostle. Apostle, the word means sent out. Here is one who is, the criteria for the New Testament apostles, basically have seen and known Christ and who have been commissioned and sent by him. Paul described himself as one who was born a bit late. Yes, he saw Christ, but not as one of the disciples, but on the Damascus Road, met with Jesus, and Jesus called him, spoke to him, and he believed in Jesus, followed Jesus, was commissioned by Jesus. Christ, the anointed one. Paul uses the term Christ 32 times in the three pastoral letters, 1, 2 Timothy, Titus, acknowledging the place, the position, the importance of Jesus as the anointed one, the meaning of the term, the Messiah, the one who was sent from God, anointed to be our Saviour and our Lord by the will of God, God's purposes, God's call for us, his work in our lives, his intentions for us and for Timothy. For Paul, a reminder, but also Paul reminding Timothy of God's call. Paul, Timothy, serving God in accordance with God's purposes, the promises of salvation, but also of service. Christ to be our Saviour and our Lord. So Paul is writing to 2 Timothy. Here is his young, not so young now, disciple, serving the Lord. And Paul still wants to pour his heart, his vision, his concerns, his life into Timothy, especially as Paul sees the end of his life approaching, and wants to see Timothy continuing in faithful service. 2 Timothy, verse 2. That's 1 Corinthians 4:17. Also, Timothy, my son, whom I love and who is faithful in the Lord. Yeah, lovely that he's loved, but lovely too that he's faithful in the Lord, in his life, in his service. Grace, mercy and peace. Paul frequently uses the blessings of grace and peace. Grace, the unmerited, the free favour of God to us. Peace, the peace of God that surpasses understanding. I always like the story of the competition that was run for a painting of peace. And all sorts of paintings were submitted of what peace would be like. Calm water or beautiful still scenery, mountains or flowers opening. The one that won the prize was one of a turbulent river, a raging torrent of waters rushing down right in the middle of this fierce river flow was a big rock. Tucked in the lee side of this rock was a bird's nest and a bird looking after its little baby birds. There in the midst of the storm, the turbulence and the danger, the peace and stillness, the safety and quiet of that bird in its nest looking after its young. The grace and peace of the Lord Jesus indeed be with us. But Paul here, in both of the Timothy letters, adds mercy. Is he wanting to highlight to Timothy, remember God's goodness to you. Remember how God has looked after you and me. In our service, in our travels, in our suffering, and he talks repeatedly about suffering and imprisonment, but he is merciful. May we know indeed the grace, the peace, and remember the mercy of our Lord. Verse 3, Paul's commitment and faithfulness in prayer to Timothy, seen here. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day. Constantly I pray for you. Paul was committed. Constantly doesn't mean he doesn't think of anything else. Obviously, he was very busy in ministry, in life, in teaching, in witnessing and so on. But there was a character in his heart and his thoughts that reminded him, that brought him to pray for Timothy. So we pray constantly, night and day, having a burden, a heart for this church, for what God is doing amongst us, what he wants to do amongst us. As we pray and look, seek a children's and youth ministry leader to work with our church folk who are ministering amongst the young people. For God's guidance, leading us to the right person, his choosing, his time for his work. Paul praying for Timothy with a heart and a constantly in the back of his mind, if not coming to the forefront, praying for Timothy. I constantly, night and day, remember you in my prayers. Verses 3 to 6 have four times Paul saying remembrance for Timothy. I remember you in my prayers, Paul, about Timothy. I remember your tears, verse 4. I remember your sincere faith. And Paul reminds Timothy, fan the gift of God in you into flame. Keep it alive. Develop it. Grow it. Our keeping in mind those for whom we have a concern to pray, to influence, to teach, to develop, to help. So we see the influence in Timothy's life of that godly home, of the teaching he received as a child, as a young fella. God is at work in Timothy still and now. And so Paul is going on and saying, yes, I remember what God has done. I remember your youth, your tears, your struggles. I remember your potential and what God has done for you, in you. So he's encouraging Timothy. It's an encouragement to us, whether it's parents, grandparents, whether it's for those known to us, those in the church, for those we can pray for, that they will be taught the ways of the Lord, the word of the Lord, will come to know Jesus as Saviour and Lord. So verse 6. Got it, Robin. We see verse 6, therefore I remind you, yes, to fan into flame, to develop the gifts God has given you. Let it grow, help it to grow. Do your part. Here is God's part and our part as we walk with him. Yes, Lord, please work in us. Please equip us. Please enable us. Please open up the opportunities. Please reach out from what we can say or do or influence, but also help us to do our part, to see the opportunities, to know when to speak, what to say, how to influence, how to pray. So God's work, fan into flame, yeah, the gift of God, but you develop it. Fan it into flame, use it, take your opportunities. We see Timothy told to be an evangelist. Chapter 4, verse 5, do the work of an evangelist. We see Paul, 1 Timothy 4, 13 and 14, telling Timothy to engage in preaching and teaching. 1 Timothy 4, 13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. God's work and our work as we walk with him, as we work for him. So Timothy, preaching and teaching and leadership. Increasingly, here's Paul commissioning him, go to this or that church because there are difficulties there. Or particularly then, to stay as pastor in a young church, in its development and its growth. Verse 7. For the Spirit of God gave us, the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Interesting combination of comments. Presumably Timothy was rather shy, a bit bashful, for whatever reason and cause, Paul sees a need to encourage him to be strong, to rely on the power, the strength, the help of the Holy Spirit, to exercise self-discipline. I need to do that. I need not to do the other. Whatever in Timothy's life. So the help of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. So Paul is recognizing here also, God wants you, God is working in you. You need to be doing your part in serving the Lord, in growing in Christ. Verse 8, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. It was dangerous to be close to prisoners in this way. And we read on a bit further, everybody else had abandoned Paul. But here, Paul is encouraging Timothy to stand, to be strong, to come to him, to Rome in prison, and reminding him the Spirit of God is at work in us to keep us from being timid, but to give strength and self-control. Guard in these things. Verse 8, yeah, just the other aspect there of suffering. Join with me in suffering for the gospel. He has suffered. Paul is calling him to more suffering. Not something we do too much in our churches. Not too much that we want to. And yet, here is God's servant calling another of God's people, be prepared to suffer for Christ. So witness, so live, that you will stand out against the crowd, against the stream, and you will face consequences. Maybe in our context, it's only disregard or opprobrium or rude comments or jokes or lack of opportunity, or for families, promotion. What is involved in suffering for Jesus? May we so be willing to walk with him that we are prepared to suffer for him. I remember one of our missionaries working in Korea said there was a young girl who believed, became a Christian, and then a bit later said, my problem started when I became a Christian. Because she'd been going with the tide previously. Now she was standing against the context, which was not Christian and not sympathetic. And she faced more difficulties because she was now a believer in Jesus. So, verse 9, God's choice for us, election, his purpose and grace, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans, the purposes I have for you. For good, not for harm. To give you a desirable goal and end. Christ's gospel is a gospel of grace, of God's mercy and goodness to us. Verse 10. Destroyed death. Appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Destroyed death physically, our physical death, a consequence of sin all down the line. And our death spiritually for eternity, separated from God because of sin. But through Christ we face eternal life and we face spiritual life, knowledge of Jesus, a future with him in his glory. And so, verse 11, the gospel of salvation is a calling to service. Used to be a phrase, saved to serve. Yes, we're saved by grace. Oh, that will be glory for me. I'm HAPPY. Joy, joy, joy. But much more than just that. It's not just a shallow, I feel good. It's by the mercy of God we are saved and commissioned to witness, to serve, to reach out in the name of Christ, in the love of Christ, for others. So the gospel of salvation is indeed a calling to service. And of this gospel I was appointed, Paul, a herald, an apostle, a teacher. A herald announcing, the apostle sent with the message, the teacher explaining, clarifying, equipping people. That's why I am suffering, verse 12. The consequences of his commitment. Prepared to suffer for the gospel, verse 11. Commissioned Timothy to guard the gospel, verses 13 and 14. I remember someone saying years ago, in your witness, yes, lead people to become, seek that they will become, accept Jesus as Saviour, but also remember we accept him as Lord. People who only accept him as Saviour say, wacko, I'm saved for eternity, I'm comfortable, but don't not acknowledge his lordship in our lives, his authority. How I live, what I share, how I influence, and the consequences of my relationships. So we seek to acknowledge, yes, Jesus as Saviour, but also as Lord. And here's Paul saying, I've been commissioned according to the purpose of God as his herald, his apostle, his teacher, his servant. So Paul's conviction, willingness to suffer, rejecting any sense of shame, and trusting his immediate and ultimate destiny to his Lord. So verse 13. Appeal to Timothy. What you've heard, keep the sound teaching, the true gospel, faithful to the word of God and his teaching. The instruction, the appeal to be loyal and true to Timothy. Trust in Jesus, your love for Jesus, faith and love. And verse 14, guard the good deposit that has been entrusted to you, that responsibility. Ensure by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us that you share it faithfully and clearly. Conclusions, what can we draw from it? A godly home, Christian upbringing, teaching the word of God, the ways of God, the will of God. What we can do, how we can encourage children, grandchildren, those in the church, those we have contact with. The development of God-given gifts, each of us. Differing gifts, different opportunities, different challenges, but using, developing, fanning into flame, and using the gifts God has given us. Never too late to walk with Jesus and to seek his help, his strength, his enabling. And the role of personal mentoring, training. Yeah? Pray for us and looking for someone to help in the children's work. Pray for the church families. Pray that the Lord will bring others, families, who can hear the gospel, who can grow in the faith. Pray for our community. Use the opportunities of personal witness, teaching, mentoring that we have. Amen. Let's close. We'll stand and sing if the singers can come up. I know not why God's wondrous grace has been made known.